Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read together in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Well, are you enjoying this changing of seasons that we see outside? My goodness, the fall is beautiful. It is just wonderful to watch the leaves change and fall off the trees. And then it's just a different world, isn't it? The fall, the air changes outside. It feels better outside this morning than it does in the church. I was standing outside shaking hands as you came in, and I hated to come on in here, but you all make me, and I have to, and I know that. But I love this time of year, autumn or fall or whatever we call it, and I mean, even the retail industry gets in on things. Starbucks makes these pumpkin spice lattes that we love so much. It's like pumpkin pie in a glass, and you can just pour it down. And I was reading the nutrition facts the other day, and I realized it's really like pumpkin pie in a glass, and you shouldn't pour too much of it down yourself. But I just love this time of year. It's a wonderful time of year, and fall and autumn, and leaves changing. And, you know, thinking about fall brings me to think, well, Thanksgiving's right around the bend. Not too long after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. We get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. It's just a very exciting time. But as we think of how exciting this time of year is, it's unique that we find so much beauty in what is essentially death. What's happening? Why are the leaves falling off the trees? I think my understanding is correct that the sap begins to go down into the earth to prepare for the wintertime. The leaves are not getting nutrients like they would used to in the summer, and they die and they fall off the trees. Am I wrong there? Did I have that right? Some of you are looking at me funny right now, but I believe that's right. And we'll travel great distances to drive and look at the leaves, and we talk about how beautiful it is, but essentially the changing of the seasons is a time of death. And then, of course, in the spring, it's a time of life. But it's unique to me that we find beauty in that. Times and seasons are a regular part of our lives. We read about that here this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Fact is, as we read this, maybe it crossed your mind that most of the time when you hear Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where are you? Anybody know? You're at a funeral. We use this text a lot to kind of explain or to help us cope with the loss of a life. But I would like to use it this morning to help you cope with life, to help you understand and explain life and where you are and what you're going through. And if anyone understood, I believe it's Solomon. Times and seasons are a regular part of our life. Without the regularity of changing seasons, life will become chaotic. Would you ever want to live somewhere where it was one season all the time? I mean, every spring I think, oh, I'd love for it to be spring all the time. But then every fall I say, oh, I'd love for it to be fall all the time. And then every time it snows, I say, oh, I wish it would just snow all the time. And then in the middle of summer on the hottest day and you get to go to the beach or get on the river or something, you say, didn't get any better than this. I wish it would be this way all the time. But if it were this way all the time, whatever season you favor, wouldn't be the same. Life would be chaos. I love living somewhere where the seasons change just a little bit. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a great spiritual application to you and I that we read here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We get an application both in the physical and also in the spiritual worlds. From before birth until death, our life changes according to Almighty God's divine purposes. At times, we don't understand His providence. At times, we don't understand God's working in our lives. At times, we don't understand why what is going on is going on. And I love that song we sang this morning, because in times like those, we do need an anchor, and we do need a Bible, and we do need a Savior in times like those. Because at times, we don't understand God's providence. In fact, probably the greatest times that we go through where we don't understand God's providence is when someone dies. We don't want a loved one to die. We don't want a friend to die. In fact, most would say we don't even want an acquaintance to die. In times like these, we do not understand God's providence many times. But all in all, we learn to accept that in our lives, seasons change. Now, I love summertime. Don't get me wrong. Think of summertime. Fireworks, and July 4th parades, baseball, and hot dogs, and picnics, and apple pies, and cornhole, and boats, and fishing, and you could fill in the list there of all the things we love about summertime, but like it or not, fall is upon us. Seasons change. We can't control that. We attribute the changing of seasons, both physically and spiritually, to God's sovereign providence. God's in control. Science has figured out why they believe seasons change, but to me, I just think God wants a new painting every few months. God's in control of why the seasons change, and very much so in control of those things in our lives. If you cannot accept that seasons change, you're exhibiting a lack of submitting to God's providence and God's purpose. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite commentators, and he writes of it this way. He says, if we as individuals are not unique, then we are not important. If we are not important, then life has no meaning. If life has no meaning, then life is not worth living. We might as well follow the Epicurean philosophy, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And we all realize that that's not the way to live, is it? Now, I'll just be honest with you. Last night, we were around the house, and Dad cooked a really good pot of chili, and we had desserts. Mom made cupcakes, and Sinead made some pumpkin pie, and I had me a big old glass of Coke Zero, not just a regular size glass, but a great big glass of Coke Zero, and the Bulldogs were on TV, and they won, and I'll just be honest with you, I was sitting around with the mentality, let's eat and drink, and who cares if tomorrow we die, because all is well with the world tonight in our house. But frankly, if I were an LSU fan, wouldn't have been that way, right? I mean, that's just how life goes for us, and no much more important things than college football. No one here today would live to the end that, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. It's a very destructive pattern in life. But subconsciously, that's exactly what we do when we will not submit ourselves to God's purposes as seasons change in our lives. What would you think of someone if they decided, hey, I'm not going to submit to the physical changing of seasons? What would you think of that person? I mean, can you just see the person in their bathing suit with their suntan lotion on, a cup of lemonade, their sun umbrella, down by the swimming pool, dipping their toe in the water in the middle of December? Well, what would you think of that? We would say they're crazy. What's wrong with them? They've lost. That's not right. They shouldn't do that. That's exactly what we would think. What would you think of someone here in a couple of weeks? We're going to have daylight savings time, the time change thing that we do. What would you think of someone who said, no, I'm not adjusting my clock. You guys can give in to the government conspiracy that controls our life if you want to, but my clock is staying the same. Well, we'd say, well, that's fine, and we appreciate your stand, but you're going to be late a lot, or you're going to be early a lot, or I don't know which one they're going to be, but they're not going to be on time. To watch someone physically resist the changing of seasons doesn't abode right with us. But for some reason, we can resist the changing of seasons spiritually and feel like we're okay. Can I say to you this morning that it's just as odd to resist the changing of seasons spiritually as it would be if you did that physically? Just as odd as it would be to put your ski parka on and gloves in the middle of summertime when it's 99 degrees outside, so it is to sit in church and say, this is how I am, this is how I'm always going to be, No matter how God leads in my life, I'm not changing. You know, that's why we had the song in our book, I Shall Not Be Moved, right? Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in my pew, I shall not be moved. No, that's not why it is. I got to finish, though. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And all God's people say, amen, because we like that one. The seasons change. Got to go so far to say to you today, not going along with the seasons that change spiritually in our lives, we would seem just like someone avoiding, you know, the guy, person by the pool in the middle of winter. We seem just like that to heaven when we refuse God's working as seasons change in our lives. You know, we began a few weeks ago in Luke chapter number 15 with the thought of two brothers who came to a place in their life that they asked, is this really all there is to life? You've been there, I've been there, you're going to be there again, you're going to come to that place. That thought kind of meshed with last week, and without me meaning to, is going to mesh in again this week as we move last week to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 with a look at Solomon saying, hey, I've done it all. And in my summation, I would say that all is vanity. It's all fleeting, it's all meaningless, and I can find no lasting satisfaction. And we concluded last week that yes, this is really all there is to life, and that all is vanity without God. And I think that's the case. But I'd like to continue this theme today with the idea of a life with God is not lived in vain and will never run out of purpose if we submit ourselves to the fact that seasons change. Now, some of you, I'm already rubbing you the wrong way. You got that twitch down your back, and that young preacher, he just wants to change everything. Oh, and now he's preaching about it. Let me begin with you at the first point on telling you that some things need to stay the same. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. Did I win some of you back right there? Did I draw you back in right there? I could see I was losing some of you already. My first point that I'd like to make today is to say that there's a time for everything. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time for every event. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. While speaking to you today about seasons changing, I want to use the opposite of that to illustrate verse number 1 to you. While seasons do change, there is a time for seasons to stay the same. 90-degree weather is abnormal in December. Right? Right? Even if we were at a month where seasons were supposed to change, 90-degree weather all of a sudden would still be abnormal. In December, it's supposed to be fallish winter time. We kind of get a mix of that here. But it's not supposed to be 90 degrees. It's supposed to remain the same. There are seasons in your life that you will face that things are how they're supposed to be, and they're going to stay that way, and they need to stay that way. But when winter's over and springtime is trying to come, and you're saying, I don't want the 70-degree temperatures, I want it to stay 45, that's not right. There is a time for that, and that is according to God's purpose. There's a time for things to remain the same. There's a time for things to change. Thus, there's a time for everything. In our best attempts as human beings, we cannot control the seasons. Can you? Can you control the seasons? I mean, if I could, it would all be sunny, blue sky days. Maybe once in a blue moon, if I was feeling sad, we might have a gray day or a rainy day. But we can't control the seasons. Can you imagine someone out in their front yard grabbing the brown leaves as they fall from the trees and painting them green and taping them back up to the limbs? That sounds silly to us. But spiritually, that's exactly what we do. Seasons begin to change in our life. God begins us to lead us into another direction, into a new feat, into a change in our life. And many of you have been through that. But a lot of times we're taking the brown leaves that's fallen off the trees of our life, off this monument of a life that we've built that we're so proud of, and we see these leaves falling down, and we paint them green, and we put them back up, and we tell the world, everything's fine. I'm just like I've always been. No need to worry. You know, I know that's the case because it busts our pride so bad to have to get up in front of people who love us. We're all here together today because we like each other. I like you. Hopefully you like me. But it busts our pride so bad to have to stand up and say, y'all pray for me. We don't mind saying pray for so-and-so, pray for my brother, pray for my sister, pray for my cousin. But to have to say pray for me because I need prayer, it hurts us for some reason. When in reality, we should almost giddy about that time in life where we can say, pray for me because God's doing something right now, and I don't know what he's doing, but I'm ready for it, and here it goes, and let's go. I'm happy. We cannot control the changing of seasons. There's a time for everything. In a season of change, we cannot cause things to remain the same, no matter how hard we try. In a season of things remaining the same, we cannot cause change. God establishes the seasons by His own will and by His own purposes. The second point that I would make to you today, on top of there is a time for everything, is to note verse 2 down through verse number 8 and ask the question, what season are you in? Solomon does a great job here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. He gives us a list of all the seasons of life. He gives us 14 statements here. And it's the polar, you know, one end of the spectrum versus the other end of the spectrum. War, peace, love, hate. He gives us a double list of seven that really gives the completeness of life. In fact, when we think of seven in the Bible, what word comes to mind? Completeness, perfection, done. Solomon gives a summation of life. He begins in chapter number 1 and he says, hey, I've lived and done it all, and I've concluded that all is vanity. He revisits that in verse number 9 and he asks again the same as chapter 1 verse 3, what profit is there in all that we labor for in our lives? And right before he gets to that in verse number 9, he sums up life very well. He says, I've seen birth and death, planting and harvest, killing and healing, demolition and construction, crying and laughing, mourning and dancing, casting stones and gathering stones, embracing and not embracing. We all know there's time for both of those, don't we? My preacher that I grew up under, he used to use his wife a lot in illustrations in his sermons, and I don't ever do that, but he would. And he would get her up there, and he would talk about something about their love and everything, and he'd make her kiss him, or he'd kiss her, you know. And it embarrassed her so much. You want to try that this morning, honey? No? Now, I wasn't looking at you, Jason. I was looking at Miss Shanae, okay? But there, we realize there's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. I did use my wife earlier this morning, and I won't use it again this time, but you just get the audio from the sound booth from this morning service. You want to hear a really funny story about my wife, it's in there. But Solomon said, I've seen there's a time for embracing, a time not to embrace. There's a time to get, and there's a time to lose. There's a time of keeping, and there's a time of discarding. There's a time to tear. There's a time to sow. There's a time to be quiet, and then there's a time to speak. That was tough to learn as a child growing up. Mom and Dad did their best with me, and they didn't mind me saying things when I needed to say things, but they also taught me there was a time to be quiet. There's a time of love, and there's a time of hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Looking at all of these seasons of life, ask yourself, what season am I in? God ordains the seasons of life. You know, we accept that fact very well when it's preached at a funeral. You see, at a time of death, our grief causes us to need to put some blame somewhere. Why did they die? Many times we just blame them. You know, the doctor told them such and such, or if they'd ever done this, or what, you know. We say, well, they might have lived a little longer. In the end, it's easier for us to just say, there's a point unto man wants to die, and after this judgment, we all have an appointment with death. It's ordained by God. And then we can almost place the blame on God and say, well, it's time for them. It was just their time. You ever said that at a funeral? It was just their time. And we find comfort in that fact, knowing that we just put the blame on God and they'd still be alive other than God meant for them to die at this time. And we have no problem with that. But we struggle with that reality when it's preached of life. For me to preach to you of life and say God ordains the seasons, everything that we do has a purpose under heaven, and it's all orchestrated by Almighty God in His sovereignty, we say, now wait a minute now. I don't like that so much in my life because you've just made me a robot. You've made me a puppet. As if God up in heaven's just controlling me and I'm out of control of myself and I can't handle things on my own and I'm not in control. And what do we like as human beings? We like control. We want to figure it out. We want to take care of business. We want to do things our way because we know. And we still give glory to God on the back end. And we say, well, God gifted us with wisdom to know what to do. But we have this problem with saying, no, that's just what God meant to happen. I believe that the reading that we get here today and the overwhelming theme in Scripture is that not only in death does God ordain the seasons, but also in our life, God ordains the seasons. You see, we like Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who is called according to His purpose, and things are good. That's our favorite verse in the Bible, when everything's going just like we thought it would go. Wait, let me back that up. When things are going just like we planned them to go, then we say, praise God, He's working His will in my life. I was submissive and God's working it out. But when things aren't going the way we wanted them to do, when our plan is not working the way we want it to, and we're being drawn this way, but we're trying to walk that way instead, Romans 8:28 is the farthest thing from our mind. When in reality, on that dark day versus that shiny day, during that winter time versus that summertime, in reality, we should claim Romans 8:28 more when things aren't going how we thought they would than when things thought they were going sure how we thought they should. Then at those times, when we're uneasy, when we're unsure, when we don't know why we're going through what we're going through, when we don't know why we're facing what we're facing, when we don't know what we're going to do because we've never been through this before, then we should say, but I know. Romans 8:28. We know. We know that God works. We know that God ordains the seasons. All in all, we have no real big problem with it. But for some reason, we only want to accept it in final things, in absolutes. But in our life, we have a problem with that. Solomon says there's a time for everything. What season are you in? Are you allowing yourself to let the seasons change as God ordains them? We struggle with that reality when preached of life. It's almost as if we've been deceived into thinking that we can control the seasons of our lives. We had that mistaken reality. It's a reality to us because of free will. But we're mistaken when we think that we can control things outside of God's plan. Let me illustrate that to you with Genesis chapter 3. Hold your place in Ecclesiastes 3. Turn to Genesis chapter number 3. What do we call the book of Genesis? What does it mean? What does the word Genesis mean? Beginnings. We're going to go back to the beginning. I've just told you that we have a problem accepting the fact that God ordains the seasons and that we've been deceived into thinking that we have some control. I can illustrate this with you very plainly in Genesis chapter number 3. You all know this story, but it helps to be reminded of it. Now the serpent. Who is the serpent? We call him the what? The deceiver, right? Yeah. Remember I told you we've been deceived? Now the serpent, if you would lend it to me this morning, I'll say, now the deceiver was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice he didn't tell her anything in particular. He questioned what she thought she already knew. He questioned the truth that she thought she had in her brain, which caused her to question the truth that she thought she had in her brain. It happens the same for you and I with the Bible truths that we have inside of us. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's a unique way of putting it, isn't it? I don't think he said that matter of fact. I think he said it questioning, surely he won't kill you. We like to think that way about eternity, don't we? Oh, surely God in love wouldn't send people to a devil's hell to burn for all of eternity. But surely He will. And surely it's our job to keep as many from going there as we can. But in my loving heart that God's put inside of me, I want to think, wouldn't it be wonderful if sometime in eternity God just got everybody and put them back into peace and harmony? Nobody had to spend eternity in hell. But that's because my carnal flesh has been deceived. Satan says here, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You really study Genesis and you get to chapter 3 here, you become aware of the fact that not only did the deceiver misinterpret what God had said, Eve did as well in her response to him. And through what could be called a simple misinterpretation of Scripture, you and I are left with the fall of man right here in our hands. You don't understand how important it is for you to be sound on the Word of God and its teachings. Genesis chapter 3 will show you how quickly you can become deceived in what you think you know. And when we get to a place where we think we know something, when in reality we've been deceived, we'll begin to let that go against the grain of our being because we think, no, this is right. But we're feeling led this way, and we'll resist the changing of seasons that God has ordained and God has orchestrated in our life. And before we know it, we're out of God's will. We're out of God's plan. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So we see that there's a time for everything. Just as we began the service today, I said to you, this is not an accident. You're not here just because you decided I'm going to come to church today. God knew. I believe in the foreknowledge of God, and that He knew we were all going to be here just like this together today for a purpose. Now, I also believe we'll never be together again like this, just like this again, with our hearts and our minds in the place that they are today. That's why it's so important for us to be alert and receptive to what God has for us and to worship God with all of our heart, soul, and mind as we meet together at these times. There's a time for everything. It's important that you realize the season that you're in and then fulfill God's purpose during this time. And as the seasons change, submit yourself to it. I've read recently of a book by John Piper, When People Have Cancer. It's the new book to give to someone, or it's a good book to give to someone, and it's called Don't Waste Your Cancer. And applying that idea to what we're talking about here, if we truly believe that God ordains the seasons of our life, and I'm someone who's never had cancer, and I hope I never do, but I imagine I might have to battle that someday. No one in my immediate family has ever had to go through that. But I'm talking to people who've gone through it and who are dying of it right now, who said, I've decided that God ordained this in my life for a purpose, and I'm not going to waste this time in my life. I'm not going to spend this time sitting around in a pity party and worrying as healthy as I can be, as much as I can be alert and healthy. I'm going to use this time of cancer, which you and I see as just an absolute finality, the end of all things. I'm going to use this time of cancer to do what God has for me to do during this time. Well, that's a wonderful mentality. I worry for my own faith and think I don't know that I would have that kind of strong faith during something as bad as. I mean, it's become a word that we don't like to hear, cancer. 50% of the prayer list of our church that we keep hearing pray over, people have cancer. It's a horrible thing, and I don't mean to belittle it before you here this morning. What I'm saying is to realize that there's a time for everything. Find the season that you're in and fulfill God's purpose during this time. That's the sermon today. But I can't leave right there because there's more to our passage, and because probably in amongst us today are some of us, if not all of us, who are saying, well, why? Why? Why do I need to be susceptible to the changing of seasons in my life? Comfortable where I am? I like it how I am? Why? Solomon, after we finished up where we are in verse 8, we get down to verse number 9. He repeats himself again from kind of where we began in chapter 1, verse number 3. In verse 9, he says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He again says, what profit is there in all that we do under the sun? What good is there? What lasting satisfaction? What meaning can we find from the things that we do in life? He writes to clarify, now that he has further illustrated his point, I think that we can best attain Solomon's meaning with these questions. Why should we be willing to accept the seasons of life? Why should we work within the presupposition that everything in life, including death, is given a set time? Why should we be willing to accept a change in seasons? I'm going to give you three things quickly as we finish today. Why? First, I would say to you from verse number 10, because life is given by God. Do you believe that? Do you believe life is given by God? I'm trying to convince you this morning that God ordains the seasons of life, And as seasons change, that we ought to be willing to follow His leadership in that. And the first reason I'm really giving you this morning why that is because the life that you live, God gave you. Look at verse number 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Now, he speaks of travail here, but we realize that he's saying travail along with sunshiny days. We don't have to encourage people in sunshiny days or good times, but he said God has given it to men. Why? Because God has given it to us. On a good day, we can praise our Maker for giving us life, can't we? I mean, the skies are blue. The temperature is just like we want it to be. The money in the bank is just like we want it to be. The house is how we want it. The family is how we want it. Everything's good in life. And we can praise God for the life that He's given us. We can say, boy, God has blessed me with a good life. It's better than I deserve. And I'm so happy. But when we begin to focus on the troubles of life, we can get discouraged by the weight of what God has burdened us with. That's what Solomon says here this morning. The answer to your question of why is because life is given by God. Good or bad, sunshine or rain, it's given by God. Solomon said, I've observed all of life, and I've seen there are times for things. There's a time for birth, there's a time for death, there's a time for love, there's a time for war. He said, there's a time for mourning and there's a time for dancing. Sunshine and rain. There's a time for everything. But in all of the everything that we find ourselves involved in the time, we need to realize where it came from. It came from God. We have no trouble being happy, dancing in the sunshine. But when's the last time you danced in the rain? When's the last time that you went out in your clothes with your cell phone in your pocket and just got wet in the rain? Well, that's a big one, isn't it? You mean you want me to put my iPhone in my pocket and get it wet? I mean, that's worse than cancer. If the iPhone gets wet, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world. If you've ever been in the store and said it won't work, and they hold it up, and these people work in a retail store. They're just normal folks like you and I, but they have these doctor things. What's that called? The doctor looks in our ears with. You know what I'm talking about? And they look in there and they look in your phone and they say, I have bad news. Oh, no. It's water damaged. So what? Buy another one. Nobody can call you for a few days. Who cares? We're taught all of our lives that don't get out in the rain now. You get wet, you'll get sick. Like the water outside will make us sick, but the water... No, take a bath. If you don't take a bath, you're going to get sick. The water outside is different than the water inside, you know. We tell kids, you got to get a bath or you get sick. Get in there and get wet and get clean. But if you go out in the rain, well, you'll get sick. I'm saying to you this morning that we focus too much on the sunshine in life. Sometimes we just need to get out in the rain. We need to see our problems coming. We need to see the seasons changing and step right out there in it and dance in the rain and say, bring it on, Lord. I'm ready for it. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go what you want me to go, where you want me to go. I'll be who you want me to be. I see the storm cloud coming, and I'm not afraid because I trust in you, and I've seen you bring me through it before, and I believe you're going to bring me through it again. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. Not on a sunshiny day only, but also in the rain. As thankful for life in the sunshine and the rain, we can properly view our Creator and His purposes. Outlook helps to determine outcome. Why should we submit to God's seasons? Because He's the one who gave you life. Secondly, why should we submit to God's seasons? Is because your life is linked to eternity. You see that in verse number 11. You and I are not just another created being that happens to be here. There's no happen in our lives. We've got to get away from this thing of luck and happenstance and it might have or it just happened to. No, we're on purpose. The Bible says that God knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. Before my mother and father even knew one another and decided they were going to have children, I was a living soul to God. And He formed me and allowed me to become the creature that I am. And eventually, someday, I'll return home to Almighty God because I have a soul. We have this, the movie All Dogs Go to Heaven. We have this idea, and I love dogs, and I've got some dogs that I hope are in heaven. I don't know that they're not. Because they don't have a soul. But you and I have a soul. We're linked to eternity. That's why Solomon could find no lasting satisfaction and concluded that all in this life is vanity. Because all in this life is not all that there is for you and I. We define all as all means all. And that's all that all means. But to you and I, the believer, all, this is not all. This is not the end. This is not all that we're ever going to face. Amen. We have an eternity waiting for us. We have heaven. We have a God who loves us and cares about us and knows us. We are linked to heaven. That's why we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And I'll clue you in, Baptists sitting in your pew this morning who are so proud of all the treasures that we think we're going to get in heaven, it has nothing to do with gates of pearl and streets of gold and jewels and the riches of this world. It's the treasures are the place that we have there with God for eternity. That's the treasure. I don't care about what this world calls value. I care about the value of being with my Savior. That's the treasures that are laid up for me somewhere beyond the blue. And I'll be honest with you, I do look forward to seeing Grandma and Grandpa again, but that's not the treasure either. The treasure is seeing Jesus, my resurrected Savior. Now, I'm sorry to bust your theology this morning and discourage you, because I know you've got loved ones you're waiting to see. But I promise you, in heaven, you're not going to care. It's going to be Jesus. You see, right now, it's all about Jesus, but especially so in eternity, it's all about Jesus. Our life is linked to eternity. Why? Why? Why should I submit to God's decisions? Because He gave you the life that you live. Because your life that He's given you is linked back to Him in eternity. And then finally, because life's gifts are from God. Look at verse 12. "I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, the man should fear before him." You can submit to God's seasons because the life's gifts that you experience are from God. This is exactly what he says here in verse number 13. "Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Not only is your life a gift from God, but the good in your life is a gift from God. Have you ever gotten something in life, worked hard, saved up, didn't go into debt, you didn't neglect your family, you didn't do it wrong, you did it all right, and you profited enough that you got this thing that you just wanted? Nothing beneficial to the kingdom of heaven, nothing that helped your church, nothing that helped the poor. I'm just talking about something you just kind of spoiled yourself on. And then you got it, and you had it in your hands, or you were sitting in it, and you felt so guilty. You ever done this? Or somebody asked you about it, and you tried to explain it away, and you said, "Well, you know," and you don't have to feel like that. That's part of God's seasons. You can submit yourself to God's seasons and the changing of the seasons, because everything in your life that is good is a gift from God. Solomon says it here. Paul writes about it in the New Testament. God just gifts us sometimes. Hey, He's your Father. He wants you to have good. I believe every church member ought to have a bass boat and take their preacher fishing on it. Well, I thought I'd get a resounding amen there. Let me try some. I believe every member ought to have a mobile RV. I can't find what it is that's going to get the amen this. I'm not going to try anymore. But we get the good things in life, and then we say, we feel guilty about it for some reason. I love it when someone gets something good in life, something big in life, something special in life, and then they just kind of give God the glory for it, you know. That's what's wonderful about it. This is a blessing from God, and I praise Him for His goodness to me. God's not called us to a mentality of poverty. We're God's people. We're His children. He loves us. And in His will, according to His plan, obviously, some will always be poor or rich or middle class or whatever the world wants to call us. You are exactly who God wants you to be. And where you are, be happy right there. I have learned that riches and wealth for me and the good that we're talking about here this morning may not be through things. For me right now, in the season of life that I'm in, and I'll change from this eventually, it's those three little boys that follow my wife into church every Sunday. And you've seen the look on my face, how proud I get. I've really done something. And my wife says, "Oh, brother." But that's my wealth right now. That's my good thing from God. But for some reason, we have this mentality that when things aren't going just perfect like we want them to do, I've admitted myself, sometimes I pray to heaven and I think, God's forgotten me. But try to remind Him. I'll say, it's me, you know, Chance, in Kingston Springs, on Highway 70. You remember God. I'm calling to you for help, but I'm reminded this morning that in submitting to God's seasons, that it's not a thing of resistance. It's not a thing of giving up right. It's not a thing of losing my freedom or my free will. It's a thing of resting in the comfort of an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God who likes me and who wants to work for my good. That's a good place to be in. That's the place to be in. That's the best place to be in. Do you realize that the Creator of the universe, the Maker of heaven and earth, the person who authored a book through men's hands that will never go away, has never gone away, is never going to go away, that's never changed, that all across the world today people are reading from and will every day, the best-selling book of all time. Do you realize that that person knows you, cares about you, loves you, wants a relationship with you? We idolize famous people in America. I mean, we see somebody famous and we just shake. Oh, it's them. There they are. Did you see them? I saw them. And we call somebody. Well, we don't call people anymore. We text somebody. Or we tweet. I just saw so-and-so. They're famous. They don't know you. Even if they meet you and pretend that they know you, they're just doing that to get you to buy their thing that they're trying to sell to be famous. But we just think that's the greatest thing ever. Every person in here this morning, some of you are looking at me so pious this morning. I'm not influenced by these world popularity. But there's every one of you in here this morning has a story you could tell me about somebody famous you met at some time in your life. I'm a pretty cool, level-headed guy, but I met a Major League Baseball player one time. And I didn't realize he was a Major League Baseball player. I went up and started talking to him because he was taller than me. I'm a pretty big guy, and I don't meet people taller than me very much. And I went up to him, I said, "You intimidate me." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I just don't meet people taller than me." He said, "Yeah." And through the course of the conversation, somebody came up and whispered to me and said, "That's so-and-so, and they play for such-and-such team." And then I got shaky. And then I started acting like a stalker to this guy and just acting all crazy. And then he kind of said, "I got to go, buddy." And he moved away from me. That's how we are with famous people. When Almighty God in heaven knows you by name and wants a relationship with you, wants you to rest assured in His providence. No, I want my way. God gave me free will and I'm going to use it. Why? What are you going to do? You know what I do every time I do what I want to do? I cause a big stink. I mess things up. Oh, I'll just tell on myself this morning. Can I tell on myself? I wanted track lights up here on the stage. I said, "We need track lighting. That's what we need. You can do whatever you want out there, but this is my area. I preach up here every week three times. You know, fill out my resume there, and this is what I want." I can't see. I can't see my Bible. I can't hardly see. I mean, this bright, shining in my lights. Finally, one of the trustees came to me last week on the way out of church and said, "We need to put some more lights up there." I said, "Yeah, I know. I know." But I wouldn't let them. I said, "This is what we're going to do because I'm the preacher and I've got it all figured out and I know what we should do." I think Brother Ryan wants to slap me sometimes. You know, here he is, 40 years of ministry and I'm 30 years old and I've got it all figured out. He's very patient with me. I'll give him that. Why do we want to do it our way? Look what it got Adam and Eve. Why do we want to resist change in life? Oh, I'm all for standing on. I stand on the truth of the Word of God, unchanging. I serve a God who said, "I am the Lord your God, and I change not." But a God who changes not still has a plan that leads us through different seasons of life. To us is change. And I understand the natural tendency to resist that. But as God leads you into another season, submit yourself to His leading, knowing that He's your God, and He knows you, and He cares about you, and that He wants to give you good things. Why? Because life is given by God. Why? Because life is linked to eternity. Why? Because life's gifts are from God. All that we enjoy now is from God. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, Let's enjoy what we do have. Why give yourself to God's seasons? Because He gave you you. Without Him, you could do nothing. There's a question that I would like to have asked the brothers in Luke 15. The same question could be asked of Solomon here. And the question is this: how can life be meaningless or monotonous for you when God has made you a part of His eternal plan? You're a part. You are. Not just Solomon, not just Paul, not just Jesus. You're a part. If I could call all your names this morning, I would call you one at a time and say, you're a part. You're a part. You are a part of God's eternal plan. And still some of you look at me this morning and say, no, not me. I'm just a nobody from nowhere. And that's true. I'm just a nobody from nowhere too. But I got somebody living inside of me. I'm authorized to tote His Bible and to tell people about it. And so are you. You're a part. Ask yourself that today. How can your life be meaningless or monotonous? When the well-known British Methodist preacher William Sangster learned that he had progressive muscular atrophy and could not get well, he made four resolutions and kept them to the end. One, he said, I will never complain. That's a good one, isn't it? Two, he said, I'm going to keep my home bright. The darkness of this disease is not going to come into my home. Three, he said, I will count my blessings. And four, he said, I'm going to try to turn this to gain. That's the approach in life that we're to take. It's not a don't worry, be happy mindset. That's not what I'm preaching to you this morning. It's faith in God. It's not a faith in faith. Boy, that's big these days. Just believe in yourself. If you'll just believe, if you'll just have faith. Believe in what? Have faith in what? Secular humanism wants to rob us from faith in God and faith in His Word by just saying, if you'll just believe. The problem with just believing is you can fill anything in there in the blank on what we're believing in, and then when it fails, God still gets the blame for it. Yeah. Believing in self never works.
Right.
Believing in anything outside of God doesn't work, but believing in God always, always works. One author wrote of it this way. He said, faith is only as good as the object of faith, and the greatest object of faith is the Lord, and He can be trusted. And that's the truth. Seasons change. We can't control that. We can cross our arms, put a pout lip out, and get mad about it, but we still can't control that seasons change. But we can control ourselves, and we can control how we respond to the change. Are you welcoming the coming season? Or are you resisting? I mean, we're right in the middle of a change of seasons right now. Are you still hanging on to summer? You say, no, I want to wear my Crocs and flip-flops just a little longer. I'm not putting away my shorts. I don't want summer to go away. Are you embracing autumn? Are you saying, man, look at the beautiful leaves. More pumpkin spice latte for all of us. What are you doing? Are you embracing the change? Or are you resisting it? Autumn is very beautiful once you let go of summer. But as long as you try to hold on to summer, you'll never truly enjoy the season God's leading you to right now. Look in Philippians chapter 3 with me. And I'll finish with this. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 7, Paul writes, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What is it you're doing? What is it you've got to be in control of? What is it you've just got to make sure happens? What plan is it you're working out that you're just sure this is right and I've got to do it no matter who I have to go over, no matter what I can resist through doing it, this is what I've got to do. Paul said those things, though gain for me, are loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, the problem with most of us is we haven't gotten honest like Paul has. All we've done in life is dung. And Paul admitted it, and we're too prideful to get to that because we have a legacy. Your legacy is Jesus. Anything outside of that, Paul named it right when he called it dung. And he said, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Notice what he says at the beginning, verse number 10. Why? Why do I count all things for loss? That I may know Him. That's what I want in life. That I may know Him. That I may have a relationship with Him. and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to be like Christ in that He died for what He believed. Be made conformable unto His death, to be forgiven through what He lived and died for, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the death of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Talking to you this morning about seasons change. Let summer go so that you can experience autumn. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.